Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. In the U.S., the so-called sport of greyhound racing is slowly but surely going away. A combination of dwindling public interest as well as the vocal opposition from those of us who know how cruel the activity is have come together recently to close many racetracks. Yet, there's still too much breeding going on to feed the industry, and consequently, there are many unwanted dogs. Rescue groups which help save the rejected and retired racers are hard at work placing them in loving homes, and we are very grateful to the greyhound rescue advocates, especially the ones who are brave enough to publicly criticize the racing industry. And you know who you are. So overall, things are looking up for these magnificent dogs in the United States who make great family members. But recently, I learned that things are not going so well for the breed in Europe, and specifically in Ireland, where the brutal activity called coursing is popular. This led me to get connected with today's guest, who we have reached in Limerick, Ireland, and my discussion with her began with greyhounds and then moved on to many topics concerning animal welfare in Ireland. And I believe you will find hearing about the Irish animal welfare environment interesting as I did. So I'm very pleased to welcome Marion Fitzgibbon, Chairperson, Limerick Animal Welfare. Their mission is to promote the humane treatment of all animals working towards a more compassionate society. Welcome to the program, Marion.
Oh, thank you.
So, Marion, greyhounds in Ireland are not faring so well. Why don't we begin by asking you to describe what greyhounds are made to do?
Well, greyhounds in Ireland have had a tough time for many years now, but it's because of the downturn in the economy, the demand for the dogs has decreased, and the UK have been quite successful in closing some tracks, some of the bigger tracks in England, and the UK were the main market for our Irish greyhounds. So about 10,500 Irish greyhounds were exported to England every year, and we have greyhound sales here every month, and the English buyers would come in and buy many of our dogs. So this trade with England has largely diminished over the last 3 years, and the demand for the dogs has decreased. So naturally, things are getting tougher for the Irish greyhound now as the greyhound breeders and owners try to find new markets. And it's not easy. So we have dogs going to Pakistan, and in the last 3 weeks, we've had a new consignment of dogs sent out to Spain, where we thought greyhound racing had ceased in Spain for the last decade. But now, all of a sudden, they're going to revive greyhound racing in Spain. So the dogs are really getting into an awful lot more danger since the economy has crashed, you know. So and we have a huge number of greyhounds in Ireland bred every year, about 23,000. So obviously, the market just isn't there for them, and it's impossible to home, you know, even a small number of greyhounds are difficult to home. So, it's getting the scene is really, really dangerous for the greyhounds at the moment.
That's incredible. Marion, what's coursing?
Well, coursing, we have track dogs and we have coursing dogs. And coursing is where you we have closed coursing and open coursing. But the closed coursing is a special coursing track, which is a long, narrow track, and it has a small exit at the end, and they trap the hares out in the wild. So these are wild hares they trap, and they bring them to the coursing stadium, and they could be kept trapped for many days. They may course over 3 days, and these hares are in captivity all this time. Now, the coursing men tell us that the hares are trained before the meeting to run down this long field and find the exit and escape, which, you know, if you knew anything about wild hares, you would know it's totally impossible, to train a wild hare to run in a straight line and find an outlet. So anyway, on the coursing day, the hare is let loose from a mechanical box, you know, the hare leg is gone, and of course it immediately runs down this long coursing area, and a couple of seconds afterwards, two large greyhounds are released, and they have to turn this hare, and obviously the hare gets badly injured very often, and the first greyhound that turns the hay around this long straight line is the winner of the course and gets this prize money. Now, you know, a couple of years ago, the hares were actually torn to pieces in front of people on the course. But now, to try and make coursing more acceptable, they now put muzzles on the greyhounds. But it's still quite cruel because the hares are terrified, and very often their necks are broken, their backs are broken, they're, you know, thrown up into the air. And some of the injured hares are actually coursed a second time if they can still run. So the entire, it's called a blood sport, basically, this chasing of live hares on a course. It should be absolutely, totally abolished, and it should not be allowed. It should be illegal.
Absolutely, and it's incredible this is done as a sport. It's done for the purpose of entertaining, which is just...
Oh, absolutely. And small children are bought coursing by the parents at a very young age. So, I mean, they grow up thinking this is, something you can do. It'd be a day out in the autumn. You could have a fun fair in the adjoining field, and people will bring picnics, and they start in September when the weather is usually still good, the beginning of the autumn, and it's rather a family day out very often.
Yeah, what's wrong with people?
You know, it's considered, oh, well, these are just wild animals and they hunt one another in the wild, so it's perfectly all right to treat them like this. But, of course, it's part of the culture. It's very like the bullfighting in Spain. Coursing has been going on in Ireland for many, many years. But in the old times, I believe, the greyhounds would chase these hares in an open area, in an open field, where it would be a natural environment, and the hares would have a better chance of escaping. Whereas now in these, obviously, built stadium, particularly for greyhound coursing, the hare doesn't have the opportunity it would have in the wild. So it's a very cruel type of activity. And, of course, huge amounts of money are best on these large coursing meetings, and you will have prize money for the best greyhound, which could be 25,000-30,000 euro, you know, for prize money can be put up at the end of the year for the champion coursing dogs. So it's all about money and exploitation of greyhounds, basically, and, of course, total cruelty to the unfortunate hares as well.
Absolutely. As I mentioned before, Marion, in the U.S., many greyhounds have become wonderful pets. This is not the case in Ireland, correct?
No, because you see, there again, when these coursing meetings take place, especially as it comes on into the springtime when the big money is wagered, a lot of these coursing meetings are advertised and shown on TV, and people see these in large dogs muzzled chasing these terrified hares. And so the whole idea here is that greyhounds are vicious and killers, and that they can't make suitable pets. And, of course, these greyhounds are trained from a very young age to hunt rabbits and hares, and that's why they do it, you know. I mean, your normal greyhound is, as we know in the States, called the couch potato. It just likes to snooze on a nice warm bed and go for a walk and is a lovely family companion. But it's not seen in that light in Ireland. It's seen as a hunting, killing dog, basically. And that's the culture here. So it's very difficult to get over that image and try and persuade the Irish people. We are working on it for the last, I'm working on it now for about 18 years, and we did have a lovely walk in Dublin recently. We've done it now for the last 3 years under an Irish Greyhound Racing Association of Rescue People. And we have a lovely walk in our capital city now every June where we walk the greyhounds. And, you know, we have about 200 people walking with the greyhounds that we have homed, and let the people in the city see these dogs can walk with other dogs, and they're perfectly beautiful. So it's a long road, really, trying to change the culture, and it takes money to be able to, you know, get on the airwaves and get good stories out there and get the attention we need for the greyhounds, because, as you might talk about later on, there's a lot of other animals in Ireland in need as well. But, you know, the greyhounds are such a different species, really, because we would have 23 greyhounds registered every year as puppies. And when they get their papers to race at 1 year, one third of those greyhounds are already unaccounted for. Probably most of them are dead because they haven't made the grade to race. They have to be try. They go to trials three times, and if they don't run fast enough at the trials, most of them then have no value, and they're straight away sold off into very bad places. Obviously, like they go for the now maybe the Spanish trade, or I don't know,
right.
They go into the flapper tracks in England or in Scotland.
Yeah. Marion, I have to interrupt you. We're going to a hard break. I know you're doing so much for the greyhounds and other animals. We're going to talk about your Limerick Animal Welfare Organization right after the break. Don't go away.
No.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers to today's world. The good news is animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you not to give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
When a cold hits, you've got to hit back. And when your cold comes with both pain and sinus pressure, you've got to hit back even harder. Only Advil Cold and Sinus treats your worst cold symptoms by combining Advil, the number one selling pain reliever, and a powerful nasal decongestant in a single pill. No other cold brand delivers stronger pain relief than the pain reliever found in Advil Cold and Sinus, the 1-2 punch at pain and sinus pressure. Find it at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
Robitussin Cofaquins number 29, the not-so-silent night.
Oh. Sorry, hon.
Oh, you keep waking me up.
I think that's...
Come on, it's 3 a.m. I've got to get up for work in 4 hours.
Fortunately, Robitussin DM Max now comes in a new nighttime formula for fast, powerful cough relief that helps you sleep like a baby, which is good news for you and the person one pillow over. Robitussin Nighttime. Don't suffer the consequences. Use as directed.
Beautiful day.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Marion Fitzgibbon, Chairperson, Limerick Animal Welfare. Marion, tell us about Limerick Animal Welfare. When did it get started, and what do you do?
Well, we started out 35 years ago, actually. I mean, I'm 73 years old now, so I'm on the street for a long time. And I came to live in Limerick, and I was struck straight away by we had so many street dogs, you know, just on the street at night and doorways, and we had really cold weather. And I had lived in Dublin, and I'd lived in the USA, actually, and in Spain. So I was shocked as a young woman to see so many dogs on the street. And so I started to bring some food in the evening. I would make up a container of, you know, soup and whatever I had, and whatever dog kibble I had, and, you know, add all bits and pieces in and go in the city. And, you know, I started to feed the dogs in the street, and I started to bring them home. And I was feeding one night, and some woman said to me, "Oh, there's another lady I've seen feeding dogs on the street as well." And so I met two other women who were actually young women doing exactly the same thing as I was. And they were living in Limerick at the time. As I say, I was a bit of a blow-in at the time. But anyway, we started what we call the Animal Circle, Animal Welfare Circle at the time, and three more people came to join us. So we started basically walking on the street and bringing the dogs home to our houses, and then we tried to rent boarding kennels and space for them. And we finally, then in many, many years later, we started to try and save some money and make collections, and we managed to buy this 25 acres with them. We do have a mortgage on it, in County Limerick and Kilfinan, where we have the Limerick Animal Welfare Sanctuary now. And we have 25 acres there, and we have about 250 animals down there at the moment. And we take in all animals, because as a rural Ireland, all animals are neglected, really. But when we do talk about greyhounds primarily, we say, you know, we have more greyhound dogs slaughtered every year than any other breed of dog. I always say if we were killing that many Labradors or Collies or Jack Russell Terriers, there would be an uproar. But so we still think that the greyhounds need to get a lot of our time, you know. But of course, we have to look after dogs, cats, horses, goats, pigs, everything you can think of, wildlife, rabbits. We even have hens, chickens, you name it. We have everything at the sanctuary. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of all animals, basically, or anything that comes to our door any day, you know. We have a lot of exotic birds brought in as well now, parrots and cockatiels and whatever from the pet shops, you know. So,
Marion, in the U.S.
We know what's going to arrive up the driveway, and we have very dedicated volunteers and staff there that do their very best to try and, you know, do our best. I just say we just have to do our best, whatever comes in any day. And, sometimes we can cope better than others, and sometimes we're totally overwhelmed. And I just say the recession, of course, has hit us badly as well. As I say, all facets of Irish society really has been hit by this awful austerity program, you know.
Yes. Marion, the use of the term sanctuary here in the U.S. would denote that animals are not bred or sold. Is that the case with,
oh,
with
totally,
Limerick animals?
Oh, totally. Everything comes in is, like, all our dogs, male, spayed, neutered, everything. We've no breeding. Sometimes we get some goats in that are pregnant, and, we often have a surprise little baby kid goat, but that would be totally unexpected. And very often we don't know that they're about to have them until they just pop out, but that would only happen maybe two or three times. But on arrival, as soon as the animals are healthy, they're neutered. All our horses are castrated. We don't have any breeding program whatsoever. Our whole aim is to keep the numbers down, and all our animals that don't get home, we have a no-kill policy. They have to live out their life with us if they don't get homed, and we don't put down any animal unless it's really ill, or sometimes they're temperament-wise, they will, if we get the dog in, this really cannot be socialized and will attack other animals or something. That wouldn't happen very often, but it would be a behavior problem or illness. That would be the only reason an animal would be euthanized in the sanctuary. All agree on that, and have for since we began to work together. We are cared for to the best of our ability, you know.
Yes. Tell us briefly about your educational programs.
Well, our educational program is really important to us because we live in, thankfully, Limerick, we're a university city, and we have a lot of, you know, teenagers coming up and going on into our university programs, and we're very keen that they would get involved in animal welfare projects. And we see more and more of that now as we go into junior school and the equivalent of your high school. Then hopefully as the students go on, they will, you know, many of them go into animal welfare, you know, they will do veterinary or they will do veterinary nursing. And, you know, it is very nice to see them coming back down to the sanctuary and getting involved in different projects that they volunteered in when they were teenagers or whatever, you know. So we actually are working long enough now that we can actually see the starting of our programs and junior school working its way up to the teenagers and the as I say, the adult students, which is lovely. And that is our program, to try and change. It's very hard to change the older generation like I come from, if they're really entrenched in their ideas, but we have great hope for going into the schools. And then we have many school programs. Practically every week we will have two or three schools down to the sanctuary. They come down in a bus and, you know, with two teachers, and they help and they volunteer and they fundraise for us, and they go around and see what we're trying to do. And we give a wonderful response, and indeed they raise money for us as well, even if it's only a small amount. If enough of them come, and as well as raising money, they go home with, you know, full of ideas about projects they want to do, and they're so interested and really caring young people. So it is. We have an education officer who works on it full time, you know, and she's very much in demand. So that is a really, you know, a very heartening part of our work.
You mentioned when I spoke to you earlier that the black dogs are unlucky there in Ireland.
Yeah, we believe it's an old superstition. And, you know, in very, very olden times, if you, in the countryside, if you wanted to wish somebody with bad luck, you would put a black dog in his bar, in the barn or something. If you got up in the morning, came out and found a black greyhound in your barn, you know, you were really worried, because that would be that someone had put this evil eye on you, you know. And they also call here, they say, people that are depressed say, you know, the black dog comes and visits me. So it's used here as a term to denote depression even today. So I don't know. And the whole black colour, and of course black is the dominant colour in many dog breeding programs, especially in the greyhounds. If you have a coloured greyhound or any coloured dog, they will always be homed in Ireland before the black dogs. Black dogs are always left behind for some. So that I think, but it goes way back in our culture that black dogs were. A black cat in our culture is lucky, but a black dog, no.
Black dog, okay, no. More with Marion Fitzgibbon, chairperson, Limerick Animal Welfare. We're learning all about Ireland's animals and Ireland animal welfare movement there. So don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today.
Precious time is slipping. No, she's only queen for a day. Doesn't matter to what's called you bring. Precious time is slipping away.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon. So call now. 1-800-569-4918. That's 1-800-569-4918. 1-800-569-4918.
I just took a quick pass by my son's bedroom and easily took his temperature in seconds, thanks to my Exergen temporal thermometer. Just a quick swipe of his forehead and we were done. Exergen is already the number one choice among moms, and hey, us dads love it too. Now, accurately taking my kid's temperature is something he likes, and I don't have to miss a second of the game.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, changing the way the world takes temperature. Available at Walmart.
We live in a world where entire fortunes can disappear in seconds. There is, however, one investment so safe, no investor has ever lost a dime of principal or a nickel of interest. Municipal bonds backed by the leader in bond insurance, Assured Guarantee. With a quarter century of experience and $12 billion in claims-paying resources, ask your financial advisor about Assured Guarantee. For investors who embrace possibilities, but invest in certainties.
If you're a responsible homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your responsibility. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for responsible homeowners who are current on their payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. Over 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
You've had 60 some odd years to prepare for this moment. 60 some odd years that added up to a squishy, squashy backyard squirt gun battle. And it's here, in this healthy little water war with your grandkids, that the question hits you. How did I get here? Is it just living in moderation or saving with gusto? Like getting 20% off your Rite Aid purchases every first Wednesday of the month with Rite Aid's new Wellness 65 Plus. 20% off Wednesdays help seniors save big on water guns and everything else. Wellness 65 Plus also lets you accumulate points for every prescription, even Medicare, that earn you up to 20% off your Rite Aid purchases fast. It's one more way Rite Aid is helping you stay here, now that you've actually gotten here. Here, soaking wet and slinking through your own rose bushes. Stop by your Rite Aid, enroll free, and save this Wednesday with Wellness 65 Plus. With us, it's personal. Certain limitations apply. See your Rite Aid store or RiteAid.com for details.
All you ladies and gents out there enjoying the smooth sounds of the interwebs radio, Geico's got a special dedication to make. This one goes out to the inventors of the mouse. Because of you and your rodent-inspired design, people can click on over to Geico.com to pay their bills, manage their claims, and live lives of pure savings. Mouse Masters, you've clicked your way into our hearts for good. Enjoy this next song. It's going out to you. Geico, 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
We've all experienced it. That moment when your mind is focused and you feel like you can accomplish anything. That moment now comes in a bottle. Introducing No-Dose Energy Shots, the shot that provides hours of energy to power your mind. Just what you'd expect from the No-Dose brand, a trusted leader in mental alertness for 50 years. New No-Dose Energy Shots, a sharper you awaits inside. Only at Walmart. Go to Walmart.com for a $2 coupon.
Use this caffeine supplement as directed. For adults only, limit use of other caffeine sources.
Hi, welcome back to the program. Marion, I want to speak about horses in Ireland, which has a long history with them. What are the animal welfare issues concerning horses?
Well, the main issue still is overbreeding and overbreeding of poor quality horses. And ponies. Unfortunately, the recession has hit the horse industry as well. The poorer quality horses are getting left behind now. We have many horse fairs during the summer and into the autumn, and their horses not sold at all these fairs. So the price of the small pony and Irish poor quality horses down to about €30 per horse now. So, I mean, you know, the horses are falling into a lot of the gypsy population and into the poorer areas of the city. These young boys are buying horses just for €20 or €30, and they don't have any facility to look after them or hold them. So we find them abandoned in all sorts of unused housing lots and, you know, very poor areas where there is no grazing, and they can be quite badly injured from riding as well. So we have a huge problem with the horses coming in now in very bad condition and with many parasites and, you know, needing an awful lot of veterinary work. And then homes for horses are practically non-existent at the minute. So we're having to hold in a lot of these horses and can't find a nice family home for them, you know. So it's a big, huge problem now, horses. Very, very,
Marion,
very sad.
Yeah, it is sad. In the States, we're debating whether to slaughter horses for consumption by people. Are horses eaten in Ireland?
No, we had a big horse scandal recently there in the last 12 months when horse meat was found to be in our burgers in Ireland, and it caused an absolute uproar. And at that time, I thought they would tighten up on regulations for the horses, because many of our horses here are not microchipped, they're not identifiable. And so under EU regulation now, all horses have to be traceable and they have to be identifiable. You know, it's an offence to have them out without a microchip and that. But you see, this legislation is not being enforced. So many of our horses, people are falsifying records and they're finding their way into the food chain, and they don't have a proper background of to where they came from or what drugs they might have been given. And so, you know, there's a huge scandal about that at the moment, and they need to tighten up the regulations. And if your horse has a proper pet passport and a proper pedigree and his papers are in order, he can go to the abattoir and you'll get so much per kilo for the weight of the horse. But all these horses that are killed in Ireland are exported. We don't eat, officially, we eat no horse meat in Ireland.
Marion, on one slight positive, you mentioned when you and I were speaking on the phone the other day, is the improved treatment of animals in the production of food. Please explain what's happening.
Well, I mean, we have new abattoirs in Ireland now, because under EU regulations, the abattoir situation has improved, because they're all under veterinary inspection. But in past times, our abattoir were very old and outdated, and I thought even from hygiene point of view they weren't well regulated, and we had huge slaughterhouses in like about five abattoirs in Limerick where I live now, when, you know, going back 25 years ago. But I mean, there aren't as many abattoirs around now. We have bigger abattoirs now, and of course there's still huge slaughter of cattle every year, and a smaller horse abattoirs. But we have temporary abattoirs now set up for the horses, which aren't good either, because when you have a temporary abattoir, it's not going to be under the same strict regulation as the permanent ones. But we have seen an improvement in the slaughterhouses, you know, but there are still, like, some small slaughter, unofficial ones that are operating for the horse industry in particular. So this is open to abuse, and I'd be very worried about it, you know, because the poor horses have no protection. As I say, many of their papers are false, and people are buying up cheap horses now and making false records for them and getting them into, second-rate temporary abattoirs just to get money. So
yeah.
it's a very worrying situation.
Here in the U.S., where we are becoming more obese, the vegan phenomenon is growing, both for health reasons and for animal welfare reasons. Do you see a growth in what we call ethical veganism in Ireland?
It would be a very minority, almost invisible growth here for that type of... there are small pockets of it around, but, I mean, Ireland is still a big beef-eating country. We're known for our cattle. It's huge slaughterhouses and huge intensive pig farms. We're big into our bacon, and of course the bacon and cabbage, and we are big into all dairy products, and we eat a lot of sheep, mutton, and lamb, of course, as we're noted for our Irish lamb. So basically we're a big meat eating country and a big dairy dairy consumptions as well. Many people say that's why we have so much breast cancer, higher than any other European country, and all it's because we are so much, our dairy product intake is so high. So you don't know really, but traditionally, because we are, of course, farming, the whole country is supported by agricultural products, you know, it's our main export.
On your Flickr page, I saw a bunch of people in bathing suits on the beach and in the water on what looks like a very cold day. What were they doing?
Oh, we swim on our website. We have a swim New Year's Day every year for animal welfare. Yeah, and brave, mostly young people. I go down well wrapped up because that's one good thing about an elder limb, and I don't have to go in the water. But yeah,
right.
People go in every year, and it's absolutely bitter into the ocean. Yeah, and we go down to the Kilkee in County Clare. And it's usually absolutely freezing on the new year in January. And but we have a nice meal afterwards, you know, and all get back into a hotel. There's very few hotels open, but we have a lovely small hotel there. And their Santa Maria is open, and we go up there and we have soup and whatever afterwards. And I enjoyed that lovely Christmas, into the finish of the Christmas season, basically, you know, and welcome in the new year. So we enjoy that.
Marianne,
the young people and like to go in, but it's they just run in and out, basically. Some of the odd one or two stay in longer, but you literally come out blue out of the water.
Marion, we so appreciate you coming on the show to educate us about the animal situation in Ireland. Thank you very much. Please tell my listeners your website and how they can learn more about your wonderful organization, Limerick Animal Welfare.
Yeah, well, we're at www.limerickanimalwelfare.ie, and there's also a connection for Facebook, and Facebook is very active, and anyone who wants to send us a wish or a bit of a good luck wish with our Facebook, we would be very happy if you join us on Facebook as well, because we have a lot of, you know, visitors from all over come on Facebook, so we would enjoy that.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Marion.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter.
Lori.
Were you listening in?
Indeed.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really, really is.
Learned so much about animals in Ireland.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So it's, this coursing, have you even heard about
never
coursing?
Never heard of coursing. It's
what
horrible.
A cruel, horrific thing.
Horrible.
Like Marion said, it's like the bullfighting in Spain. Just
yeah.
Another one of these traditional animal exploitation, cruel
right.
ways.
And look, there's betting, there's family involvement, there is the inevitable death of the hares, and there's the promotion of the greyhound as a killer.
Right.
I mean, it's just bad all around.
Right, and I know her group is working hard to really to try to reshape the image of the greyhound there, because they really are gentle, beautiful, wonderful dogs, and that make great family members.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in the States, we've got all these greyhound rescue groups and greyhound
right.
advocates, and you see these pictures. They're beautiful
yeah.
animals. They're,
yeah.
They do just, like, lie on your lap.
Yeah.
So.
And other strange ways. The black dog being unlucky.
Black dog.
That's a, wow.
Churchill said he had a black dog. He would have these bouts of depression. And,
oh.
and that's how I knew about that phrase. But I didn't know that literally the black dogs in Ireland were considered bad luck. That's the first I've heard of that.
Maybe Churchill
so,
started that little.
I don't know if he started it, but but interesting the agricultural predominance of the economy and how much it relies upon the animal industry just to survive, and so they pour, you know, as bad as it is here in the States, it's even worse there. It seems.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, well. If we go to Ireland, we might have to pack our food with us, because what are we going to eat there?
No. Very few vegans.
Very
vegetarian,
few,
she said.
That, right. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
you pack my lunch now.
I know. Okay, we'll just bring a suitcase full of food. Okay, don't go away. I hope you have news items for us.
There is so much hot animal news happening.
Oh,
right now.
Good. We're excited, so don't go away. Stay tuned. You're listening to Animals Today.
I'm gonna make you stay.
like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517, 866-657-8517, 866-657-8517.
Look, kid, you're new here. So let me tell you the three keys to a long, happy career. First, high heat gloves, page 2640 of the Granger catalog. Second, intrinsically safe earmuffs, page 2606. Third, portable eyewash stations, page 2790. Am I the grand poobah of workplace safety? No. Granger is. They have page after page of safety products. The Granger catalog in all its forms. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
In 1942, Eleanor flipped her wig about Geico saving her moolah on her motor insurance.
Hey, man. In 1969, Ace saved enough dough with Geico to go to Woodstock. His only memory... the savings.
In 1984, Stephanie, like, saved, like, majorly on her car insurance with Geico. It was, like, so totally righteous.
Over the past 75 years, the expressions have changed, but one thing hasn't. Saving money with Geico.
Get ready. Get set for the holidays for less at Lumber Liquidators' huge flooring sale. Save on over 150 floors, including first quality laminate from 49 cents a square foot. Pre-finished hardwood up to 42% less than big box stores. Beautiful bamboo up to 55% less. Plus, save on great holiday gifts or floor 'em with a gift card. And get special financing. Hurry, get a great deal on a new floor just in time for the holidays. Sales going on now. Visit LumberLiquidators.com or your store for your holiday deal today.
Get it started.
I own three coffee shops, so you never have to say, perk up. But I just discovered the new services center at OfficeMax. Their team designed our new logo, helped set up our website, and printed our signs, banners, and pastry menus on time and on budget. It's so energizing. And I'm drinking decaf.
Get special introductory offers now at the new Office Max Services Center. You'll find over 60 print services. Learn more in-store or at officemax.com/services.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm assuming, Peter, you have a duck news story.
Not really, but I just wanted to hear that one.
Okay.
You know, some of these songs just are timeless, and they just won't go away. We're not going to let them die.
Okay.
So Paul Watson, formerly the head of Sea Shepherd Conservation Society founder, he has been testifying in U.S. court in Seattle. And the Sea Shepherd Society, they're being sued by the, I believe, the Japanese for their various activities. And he's been letting them have it.
Good.
And, you know, he's sort of been a fugitive from justice, and he's sort of living on the seas in international waters because everyone wants to arrest him.
What's this latest lawsuit about?
The latest lawsuit is that the society has been accused of breaking the law as they are trying to interfere with the whaling activities of the Japanese, and they are claiming, no, it's not us, it's our sister organization based in Australia. So they sort of claim they're handed over their responsibility to, then that the wrong organization is being sued. So we'll see where that goes. You know, the Japanese whalers, it's a complete scam. As you know, most of our listeners know, this International Whaling Commission, they permit the Japanese whalers to kill whales ostensibly under the research protocols, right? So really, they're not doing any research on these whales. They just capture them and they cut them up and bring them down below. In fact, there's a quote from Watson that I would like to share with you. He says, quote, "There is no scientific basis for what they're doing," talking about the whaling industry. "We have seen them take a whale onto the factory vessel. There's no scientists there. There's nobody measuring anything. They simply cut them up, send them down below, and package them. This is not science. This is bogus."
Right.
That's Paul Watson.
Good.
Talking about the industry. And so that's what they're doing. And,
yeah.
And he's, you know, he's probably the most inspirational figure in
I love
in
Paul.
Animal rights.
Oh, he's great. I just.
And he now he's sporting this white head of thick hair and a white beard, and he looks like an apparition almost. He's come ashore from the seas somewhere to under special circumstances that are not to be revealed to testify in Seattle, and then he's going to go back somewhere. And
we got to bring him on the show again.
If you can find him, it's almost like mythical.
Yeah. Remember we had him on years ago
when he first began.
Yeah.
And he describes the story about how he became an animal rights advocate and how compelling it was. It really was amazing. He came eye to eye with a whale. Remember that? It's really
yes.
an incredible story he
I
tells.
Do. I
so,
do.
So what a figure, and we hope hope he avoids being jailed.
Yeah.
Certainly he's got a lot of protectors around the world, doesn't he?
Sure does.
Now, this is something to get you, Lord, I'm sure this will get you sort of excited. The people are worried that the corgi dog, Welsh corgi, is in danger of becoming extinct. It's going to enter the endangered list because in last year, only 241 of them were registered. And so they're losing their appeal. And so people are freaking out that this classic dog.
The right, breeders are freaking out.
Well,
so there's
going to
be. Okay.
Well, you know, the people who think the dogs are very cute and they've got this, you know, connection with the royal family. And they sort of are cute, but, you know, another sort of a breed made for our, you know, enjoyment. Recently, the docking of the tails the ban has been put in place, and so the breeders are no longer excited about breeding corgis because
they can't clip off their tails.
Right. And so it's
that's so ridiculous.
Ruin the market.
Okay, ruin the market.
Because if you've got a corgi with a tail, it's not really good. I don't know.
You know.
And it's so insane, isn't it?
It is insane.
Yeah. So when you see the comments on an article like this posted and you see the comments, what a shame, or I can't believe this is happening to the cute corgi. I mean, it's give me a break, people.
You know, I'm just not even going to comment. I get enough hate mail from breeders. My listeners know what I feel about breeders.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about some happy news from Indonesia, believe it or not. And that is a couple of wildlife traffickers have been sentenced in Indonesia. They, a pair of them, are going to go to jail for, one of them for 2 months, one of them for 3 months, and face fines because they were found to possess a couple of stuffed Sumatran tigers and one bear.
Wow.
And so this is a real milestone, only the second people who have been sentenced in Indonesia for animal trafficking. So this is a wonderful turn of
events. It's great.
Yep. And these tigers, there's only about 400 left in the wild, and that's the largest threat is still poaching.
Wow.
So
it's such a tragic situation.
That's right. It is. And I hope they enjoy their imprisonment.
Yep. Me too.
And have you seen The Cats in Tights? I just have to share this with you.
The Cats in Tights?
Yeah, I know you don't get out much. But here's a new internet phenomenon that I'll just have to show you later, and maybe we'll post a picture on the site. It's becoming a popular activity to take your house cat, who's a willing participant, and just minding their own business, and they're laying down, and you place a pair of human tights on their lower body, and you cover their legs, and you sort of cinch it up maybe to their mid-torso, and the cat's lying there happily, okay?
They're not lying there happily.
I'm telling you. And then you can, if you want, you can dress them up and put maybe shoes on the bottom of the tights or put a hat on them, and you create an image of a cat that looks like a cartoon. It's so funny to look at, and the cat's like, what are you bothering me for? And you've got these long legs in various positions, And it looks like a funny.
You're making this up.
Animal.
You're making this up.
Well, you know, I wish I thought of this because these pictures are really delightful to look at.
The cats are not willing participants in this.
Well, you look at the pictures and you tell me. I'm telling you, they're oblivious to it. They're indifferent. Oh, they don't care.
You want to try putting cats on our tights
on
our cats?
Well, you have to have the right cat, and if you don't, then you don't do it. But if you've got a cat,
but how do you know people might do it on the wrong cat?
The cat would run away or meow.
Okay, whatever.
So,
Ridiculous.
It's a modern American phenomenon. It's very important.
This is ridiculous.
Oh.
Okay.
I'll show you the picture. You tell me if it's ridiculous.
I will. Okay. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
USA News, I'm Sean Scott Ferguson. Newly re-elected New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, widely considered a potential Republican presidential candidate in 2016, on Sunday declined to say whether he would serve out his full four-year term rather than run. Asked by interviewer George Stephanopoulos on ABC's This Week whether he would complete his current term, Christie said he didn't know. Christie, a moderate, won the November 5 election with more than 60% of the vote, to 38% for Democratic challenger State Senator Barbara Bueno. An autonomy movement in eastern Libya said on Sunday that it had formed a regional oil firm to start selling crude after seizing several ports, mounting a challenge to the government in Tripoli as it struggles to gain control of oil facilities.
The announcement, along with a plan to set up an Eastern Central Bank, is a blow to efforts by Prime Minister Ali Zaidane to reopen oil ports and fields seized by a mix of malicious tribes and civil servants seeking political rights or higher pay. Outputs at a fraction of its capacity of 1.25 million barrels a day.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability? How about low libido or weight gain? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to get relief from these problems. But you're in luck, because Ambryn can help you balance hormones and relieve your hot flashes, sleeplessness, irritability, and other symptoms of menopause. And now you can finally lose weight. Yes, even that stubborn body fat with Ambryn Weight Loss, a powerful new product that will help you get the results you want. So you can finally lose the weight and all those other awful menopause symptoms. Call now and ask how you can get your free sample of Ambryn Weight Loss. Just call 1-800-261-7405. This is a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call Ambryn right now. 1-800-261-7405. That's 1-800-261-7405. 1-800-261-7405.
The United States sent a wave of assistance to the Philippines after a devastating typhoon killed at least 10,000 people and will provide additional aid if it's needed, President Barack Obama said on Sunday. Obama said America's already providing significant humanitarian assistance. Only narrow gaps remain in talks between world powers and Iran. British Foreign Secretary William Hague spoke to the BBC's Andrew Marr show.
There are still some gaps. You ask what went wrong, I would say that a great deal went right. This is a very difficult negotiation, but it's fundamental to international peace and security over the next few years, so we have to persist. These talks have been very detailed. They've been about every aspect of Iran's nuclear program. And there's no doubt, as John Kerry, Secretary Kerry, said here during the night, that the parties are closer together. We're all closer together than before we had these talks.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl.
Hey, gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. Try no-no hair risk-free by calling 1-800-351-5917. That's 800-351-5917. Or go to nonoradio.com.
A breakthrough in genetics described as jaw-dropping by one Nobel scientist has created intense excitement among DNA experts around the world who believe the discovery will transform their ability to edit the genomes of all living organisms, including humans. For the first time, scientists are able to engineer any part of the human genome with extreme precision using a revolutionary new technique called CRISPR, which has been likened to editing the individual letters on any chosen page of an encyclopedia without creating spelling mistakes. The technique's so accurate that scientists believe it will soon be used in gene therapy trials on humans to treat incurable viruses such as HIV or currently untreatable genetic disorders such as Huntington's disease. Did the Department of Energy conceal negative information about a failing green firm? John Russell with that story.